might have only been a small change, but all I was asking for last week is that you made a change. And we committed to do that. So I want to know who kept that change up for the whole week. Okay, about half the church. Okay, I want to challenge you again this week. Search the scriptures. Seek the Lord's face. If there's something that's not quite right, put it right. We're going to find out today. We might not always have the opportunity to seek the Lord. So this week we're going to look at how to do it. How do we seek the Lord? Psalm 63 says, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful praise. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in night watches, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee, but thy right hand upholdeth me. But those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword, they shall be a portion for foxes. But the king shall rejoice in God, everyone that sweareth by him shall glory, but the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. Father, we thank you again for this opportunity today to come around your word. Father, I pray that you'd help us once again to seek thy face. Father, oftentimes we might use this as a passage of scripture for the lost to seek thee, for the lost to come to know you as Savior. But Lord, once we are saved, we are still meant to seek thy face. Father, we recognize that there is nothing we can do in our lives without you. We don't have the strength to face the wickedness of the world. We don't have even the courage to face the enemy that is out there. That, Lord, oh, we can only do this by your strength. So, Father, would you help us to seek thy face? Would you help us, Lord, to diligently seek thy face, to not come into your presence with a blasé attitude, to not think that, well, I'm saved and now nothing is going to go wrong. We recognize that our health fails us. We recognize that people let us down. We recognize that even the church on times cannot live up to the name that it should have. Father, we also realize that you and you alone will never leave us and never forsake us. So we should seek your face. So Father, would you help us today to realize how we are to do that? The scripture speaks much of seeking your face, seeking your name, seeking the word. But Father, help us to know how to do that in our lives. I recognize the fact, though, that even a smallest change can have the biggest spiritual impact in our lives. So would you help us this week, Lord, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. So how does a person... We made a challenge last week and we said, right, if there's something that's not quite right in our lives, if there's maybe a time that we used to seek the Lord, that we used to get excited about reading our Bible, if that's fallen by the wayside, just a small change. Just getting up a little bit earlier. Just writing out our prayers. Just following some kind of reading plan. Just any small change to seek God's face. We are never in a position where we arrive at spiritual perfection. We could always seek more earnestly. We could always search more diligently. There's always something that we can do. If a treasure is worth something, it is worth finding. You know, you see these pirate movies, you know, where the X marks the spot and off they go. It doesn't come easy, and it's not a case of, oh, well, it'll kind of still be there and it will just stumble across it. They really have to search for it. Within the scriptures, and I'm not saying, oh, we can't find, you know, what we need to be looking for, and God has, kind of hidden stuff in the Bible, and I'm not saying that, but what I'm getting at is it takes effort to search and seek the Lord's face. But I can promise you this, as David said, when we do that, then we see his power in our lives. When we do that, then we realize we're able to praise him even if things are not going our way. When we do that, we're able to bless him. When we do that, our soul is satisfied even if our life feels like it's falling apart. You know, this is not something we are to do because this is just going to fill up an hour of our time now because this is just a message. Seeking the Lord is important. We saw that last week. You know, there's like 300 references in the scripture to seeking and searching. So it must be an important aspect of our Christian life. If it's important to you, if you were on an island and you had no food and no water, you wouldn't just sit there and think, well, something will come my way. You'd go out and find that food. You'd go out and find that water. Why? Because you know that that is needed in order to sustain our life. In order to sustain our spiritual walk, we need the nourishment of that food. We need the thirst for that water of life. So how do we seek the Lord? First of all, we see the time that we need to seek him. It says, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. Early will I seek thee. David wrote this psalm when he was in the wilderness, when he was fleeing from Absalom, and he tells us the important principles here about seeking the Lord, and the first principle is that we need to seek him early. David said, early will I seek thee. And that phrase is from the Hebrew word that not only deals with the when of seeking the Lord, but it deals with the how of seeking the Lord. Because the word means early as well as earnestly. It means that not only will I seek him early, and that can be early in life, that can be early in the day, but it also means an earnestness about it. That it's not something that, oh, but it'll just fall in my lap. And maybe we've gone through life at certain times and things have just happened for us and things have fallen into our laps. But can I just say this? If we want that walk with the Lord, if we want that strength at the time that we need it, if we want to know his peace in our lives, we will have to seek and search the scripture. We will have to seek the Lord's face. David admitted this as he ran from Saul, as he ran from Absalom, as things didn't go David's way. David said, early, Lord, will I seek you. You know, if we want to make a void, and if there's anyone, I was going to say if there's any youngsters in the church, but I'd probably straight, we got four younger people in the church, five. We got a lot of people over 40. Guys, all I would say is seek the Lord early and avoid making some of the mistakes that a lot of us made in our teenage years and in our 20s. You know, for some of us, we didn't become Christians as teenagers. Seek the Lord early. Yeah, but that's not the cool thing to do now. Look at peer pressure. You know, the amount of times our kids come in, whether it's to blast or, you know, I know some of our teens here have come in and said, oh, you know, the fact that they get made fun of in school and the fact the kids say this and the fact the kids say that. Seek the Lord early in your life and avoid making some of the mistakes that a lot of us made. You know, I've never once heard somebody say, I wish I'd put it off and I didn't come to know the Lord till a lot later in my life. The majority of people who are in their right mind would say, if only I had done it sooner. Seek the Lord early. Avoid making mistakes in youth that you would regret later in life. Don't wait until you're older to seek the Lord. If you are watching online and you have never trusted Christ your Savior, now is the time to seek him. Don't put it off. Early is the time to seek him. For me, in terms of seeking the Lord, I always find it easier to read my Bible first thing in the morning. I find it easier to do that because you can rush through the day, and by the time you get to a certain age that at the end of the day, you're just worn out. I know perhaps a lot of you are not there yet, but some of us are just exhausted at the end of the day. And then you don't feel like you can't concentrate. I don't know what you are like, but I can't concentrate on reading. You know, I find it harder to pray, last thing at night than I do pray and first thing in the morning. Early will I seek thy face. Set that time aside. The phrase, early will I seek thee, is in the imperfect tense, which means we are to continually seek the Lord. It doesn't mean, well, you only just do it in the morning and that's it. But if we're going to, we've got to set a time aside to be able to seek God's face. Chronicles 16:11 says, seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. You know, when you look at King Josiah, Josiah brought one of the greatest revivals to Jerusalem. And he was a young boy when he came to the throne. 8 years of age, come into the throne. But then in 2 Chronicles 34:3, it says, for in the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet young, so 16 years of age, he began to seek after the God of David, his father. As a young boy. You know, oftentimes we kind of view Christianity as an old thing. Some of our, and if you looked at some of our churches, and I guess, yeah, you can see the misconception. We don't want to seek God. It's, you know, that's an old person thing to do. But yet we're told to seek the Lord early, seek him early in our lives. And I think it's a good way to start our day. Like I said last week, you know, there's lots of things that we wouldn't dream of doing in the day before we had our first cup of coffee. If only other things, you know, if only seeking the Lord was important in our lives as some of the other things that we place importance on. So the time for seeking the Lord is early. And then we see David in the thirst for seeking the Lord. I will seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. Now we have an idea of what this means based on last week's message Sunday night on those that hunger and thirst after righteousness. So we get an idea already of what it means to thirst after something. David had a thirst for God. This thirst is an insatiable longing for water. There is no reasoning with it. There is no forgetting it. There is no despising it. There is no overcoming it by indifference or willpower. When you get to that point where you need to have a cool drink of water, that there is an insatiable thirst, you cannot quench it in any other way than coming to the water. And David is talking about that kind of thirst for seeking God. He said, I will seek thee. Thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. David craved God. Could we say the same thing? Do we have a craving for God? We crave a whole host of things. My biggest craving in life is chocolate. Especially chocolate Turkish delight. Just putting that out there. Thursday's coming. It's got a good sell-by date. It'll be here when I get back. You know, we crave a whole host of things in our lives. Have you ever had that sometimes where you think, oh, maybe you wake up in the morning and think, I just need a Chinese takeaway. And then all day, if you've never done that, Alistair, then there's something wrong. All day, you just can't stop thinking about Chinese takeaway. And then you have it in the night then, it's like, oh, finally. We crave a whole host of things in our lives. And David is talking about that. He's craving being with God. He's craving God's presence so much that he can't get it out of his mind. Everything he starts to think about, God creeps into his mind. Everything he starts to say, God creeps into his mind. And he said, I thirst for thee. My flesh longeth for thee. He has a craving for God. He's longing after God. And I think sometimes we kind of misunderstand what it means to seek God's face. When we get saved, we suddenly realize that, well, God will never leave me and never forsake me. He walks with me, so that's good enough. No, the Bible says we need to thirst after God. We need to seek God's face early, because if we don't, we're going to struggle in our walk. We're going to struggle in our daily lives as believers in Christ. A thirst for God. When you're thirsty, what does a person think about? It's not a trick question. When you're thirsty, what does a person think about? Water. He thinks about quenching that thirst. When we are thirsty for God, that's all we're going to think about. A thirst for God. So when you're thirsty, what are you doing? You've got a dependence on water, because that's the only thing that will satisfy. When we're thirsty for God, we will have a dependence on Him, knowing that that's the only thing that will satisfy. When we have a thirst, we appreciate the source of water. We appreciate the water source. When we have a thirst for God, we appreciate who He is in our lives. Because let's be honest, on times we take God for granted. On times we probably don't give God much of a thought throughout the day when everything's going our way. But when things take a turn for the worst, then we kind of cry out to Him. But we need to have that thirst all the time. We need to have that longing all the time. David had that thirst because he wanted to see God's power and glory. David had that thirst because he enjoyed, in verse 3, the loving kindness of the Lord. He had that thirst because he found satisfaction in walking with the Lord. Verse 5, my soul shall be satisfied. Are we satisfied in our Christian lives? I think it's safe to say that every single one of us is going through something that is causing us to maybe question why God is allowing this. Maybe question why this is happening to us. And our focus then comes off God. Maybe we've even been tempted to blame Him for what's going on. But David knew that he couldn't do this unless he walked with God. That was his thirst. That was his longing. Psalm 42 says, as the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. This is really interesting because apparently, you know, when even when David was hiding from Saul in En-Gedi, and you know, when he saw and he talked about you know, rising up and having those hinds feet in high places, and En-Gedi is in the wilderness, it's just not far from the Dead Sea, and all of a sudden you have this oasis with this water source. We need to realize that God is like an oasis in a dry and barren land. But what's interesting when he says, as the heart panteth after the water, it's not just talking about the deer being so thirsty that he needs to get to the water source for a drink, because oftentimes when a deer was being chased by a prey, it found refuge in the water. It found safety in the water. So the water wasn't just a place where he would satisfy its thirst, it was a place where it found rest from that which was hunting him. David said, just like the deer pants after that water, just as the heart panteth after the water, so panteth my soul after thee. I am so thirsty for you because I know that when I come to you, my thirst is quenched. I know that when I come to you, I find the refuge that I need. I know when I come to you, I find that solace that I need. I know when I come to you, I find that strength and that protection and that peace and that presence and that help and that hope. And all that I need is found in the source of that living water. You know, Jeremiah referred to God as the living water. Oh, how David's soul thirsteth after the Lord. You know, the psalmist described his thirst for God as that deer that pants for the water. There's an old Indian proverb about a man who was seeking God. And he went to a wise old sage for help. And he said, how can I find God? The old man took him to a nearby river, and out they waded into the deep water. Soon the water was up just under their chins, and suddenly the old man seized the young man by the head and pushed him under the water. He held the young man down until the young man was flailing in the water in desperation. Another minute and that man could well have drowned. Up out of the water, the two of them came. The young man was coughing water from his lungs, wheezing and still gasping for air. And reaching the bank of the river, he asked the man indignantly, what did that have to do with me finding God? The old man asked him quietly, while you were under the water, what did you want more than anything else? The young man thought for a minute and then answered, I wanted air. I wanted air more than anything else. The old man replied, when you want God as much as you want it here, you'll find him. You see, sometimes seeking the Lord's face becomes a bit of a, do we really need to do that? I'm saved, my sins are forgiven, I'm headed to heaven, my name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, I've done my reading for the day, I've ticked my box, I've kind of moved on a little bit, I've gone through the prayer list. But do we really seek God's face? Do we really want to know more about him? Do we really want him to have more impact in our lives than he does right now? Or are we happy to just go through the motions? Are we happy to just carry on as we are and, you know, not really grow in the Lord, not really, you know, do anything to put a target on our back, you know, to just keep doing what we're doing? David recognized that there was a time to seek the Lord early. There was a thirst for seeking the Lord. And then there's a totality in seeking the Lord. Seeking God is not a half-hearted attitude. Jeremiah 29:13 says, and he shall seek me and find me when he shall search for me with all your heart. Can we honestly say that we are seeking God with all our heart? If that were true, then the church would be packed every week. If that were true, the church would be packed every week. But it's not true. People are not seeking the Lord with all their heart. Yeah, but you don't know what's gone wrong in my life. No, I don't. But he does. Can you imagine if we all just said, well, this hasn't gone right this week, so I'm just not coming. There'd be nobody here. I'm used to speaking to empty pews now, so thanks to COVID, no problem. When it comes to the matter of our relationship with God and seeking him, God wants us to be all in. Because when we're not, how do you think he feels when he gave everything to us when he went to the cross? He says, I gave you everything. I sacrificed everything. And you can't give me an hour. You can't give me an hour a week, let alone an hour a day. So how does somebody seek the Lord with their whole heart? Do we have that desire to seek the Lord with our whole heart? Can I say this? You can't afford not to seek the Lord with your whole heart. 2 Chronicles 12:14 says, and Rehoboam did evil. Why? Because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. When you get upset with God and then you stop reading your Bible and you get upset with God and you stop praying and you get upset with God and you stop coming to church, don't expect God to bless you. Don't expect God to suddenly shower down his blessings upon you. Don't expect God to suddenly come to you and say, oh, please don't be like that. Come back. God has done everything for us. But if we don't prepare our hearts to seek the Lord, what hope is there? Men and women that sought God prepared their hearts to seek him. Hezekiah says, that Hezekiah prayed for them, saying, the good Lord pardon everyone that prepareth his heart to seek God, the Lord God of his fathers, though we be not cleansed according to the purification of the sanctuary. Prepare your hearts to seek God. How? How do we do that? Well, I'm going to give you some do's and don'ts. First of all, don't wander. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. The word wander here is from the Hebrew, which means to go astray, to error, to swerve out of control, to be tossed to and fro, rolled back and forth, to be drunk, to commit sins of ignorance, or to be deceived. We are told that if we're going to seek God with our whole heart, don't wander. Don't wander away from God's word. Don't wander away from God's commandments. Don't wander away from God's presence. Don't wander. You know, that's the one thing our parents used to say to us as kids. If we went into town, don't wander. Don't run off. Stay close by my side. God doesn't wander. We are the ones that wander. We are the ones that stray away. We are the ones that go away from the Lord. We are the ones that pout because of what's going on. We are the ones that go away. And God has been in the same place all along. If we're going to seek the Lord with our whole heart, don't wander. Apathy and indifference cool us spiritually. How many of us have a ho-hum attitude towards the Lord? Oh, well. We need to seek him with our whole heart. That is a 100% effort. And that's not just on a Sunday. That's not just on a Wednesday. That is every single day of the week. Don't wander. Don't be distracted. Be still and know that I am God. We live in a world that has constant distractions. Let me ask this question. How many of us, when we get home from a busy day, what's the first thing we do? How many of us stick the telly on? Because it's a distraction. I'm not saying that the telly's wicked or evil, or there's wickedness all around us, and there's some things that can be used for good are still wicked, and some things that are... But how many of us stick the telly on? How many of us get distracted? How many of us start to do our readings in the morning and then a text comes through? I'll be honest with you. Sisters of Strength, you do my head in. Because Joe's phone doesn't stop beeping. And if Roslyn sends one more emoji, I'm going to scream. She is the emoji queen. She cannot send a text with just like thanks. Thanks, praying hands, smiley face, heart, party, symbol. But it is, I'm not saying that Sisters of Strength is a bad thing, but sometimes it can be a distraction. We start to do our readings in the morning, it's like ping. And then the Lord said ping. And then blessed be the ping. What is going on? Stick our phone somewhere where we can't. So we put on, you can put your phones on do not disturb now. Jesso, you were not up early and you've done your praying before me. You're on your phone. You know what's going on. You're on bet365.com. But don't be distracted. Put away distractions. If you need to leave your phone upstairs, leave it upstairs and do your reading. Seek God's face. Be still and know that I am God. And I've said this, I get it. Anything in the right, used in the wrong way can be wicked. I understand that. But sometimes believers, I'm not saying you, but some Christians will spend far more time checking their social media stuff when they wake up in the morning. If we put the same amount of effort into reading our Bible and seeking God's face as we did on some of these social media stuff, we would have such a close walk with the Lord. We'd be super saints. Don't be distracted. I think I've only got two don'ts. I think all the rest are do's. Do enjoy. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Enjoy spending time with the Lord. This isn't, pastor shouted us all week now because we need to seek God's face. Want to spend time with him. Enjoy spending time with him. Enjoy learning more about him. You know, it always fascinates me. Anytime we go on the men's retreat, that I can guarantee you this, 100%, Brother Andrew will be sat on the settee and he will just be studying his Bible. He will just be reading his Bible. Why? Because he loves spending time with the Lord. He enjoys studying. He enjoys reading. He enjoys learning more and more and more. Enjoy being with the Lord. Enjoy spending that time with the Lord. It's not like, we had such a row this week and we had to put our hands up and everybody had to look at us and we were guilt-tripped into spending time with God and it's such an awful church because he's such a bully. Just enjoy spending time with God. Listen to him speak. But he doesn't speak in an audible voice. But he does when you read his word. And he speaks clearly. And maybe the reason you're not hearing God's voice in your life is because you're not seeking his face and spending time in his word. Paul said that I may know him. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, that I may know him. But Paul, you know, the one who wrote so much of the New Testament, Paul, who was this giant of the faith, Paul, who could sit down and say, I want to know more and more about Jesus, Paul, who saw the risen Christ on the road to Damascus, could still say, that I may know him. But a lot of what we know about the Lord Jesus Christ came from Paul. And yet Paul says, oh, that I may know him more. And the more I get to know him, the more I want to know him. Enjoy spending time with the Lord. Enjoy your salvation. Enjoy Bible study. Enjoy prayer time. Enjoy fellowship with other believers. Enjoy. Do confess. Not to me. But confess your sins to the Lord. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you were going to grow in your relationship with God, then that account of sin has got to be short. It's important that we confess early. Betimes that we confess our faults. He knows already what they are. I get that. But when the Lord Jesus Christ gave our model prayer, confession was a part of that prayer. Forgive us of our trespasses. Confess our sins to the Lord. That's an important element in seeking the Lord. That's an important element of submitting to the Lord. That's an important element of growing in our relationship with the Lord. Because the closer we get to him and the more like him we become, the less like us we'll want to be. You know, the more time you spend with people, they will eventually rub off on you. That's why, I mean, James said this morning from his verse, you hang around with unwise people, you're going to be like them. You hang around and run with the wrong crowd, that's what you're going to end up. You anybody that talks to Hannah now, they're rubbing off on her. She's starting to talk exactly like them. But then mom and dad come to visit, and then Daniel can't understand the words she's saying again. Talking tidy again. But the more time you spend with somebody, the more like that person you become. So when we deal with the sin problem in our life, well, our sins have been dealt with at the cross. Yes, they do. But when we sin as a believer, the scripture says you're basically crucifying the Lord afresh. So confess your sins. Come before the Lord with the right attitude and the right heart and the right desire. And then submit to God's will for your life. Teach me to do thy will. For thou art my God, thy spirit is good. Lead me in the land of uprightness. An important element in seeking the Lord is submission to the will of God. You know, I've heard people say, I know this is God's will for my life, but I don't want it. Well, guess what? You are never going to be happy in this life. If God's will has said, this is the way, walk ye in it, and you're like, no. Not everything is going to go our way. You look at Fanny Crosby, blind because of a medical incompetence as a young child. And she could very well have said, God, this is not fair. God, what do you think you're doing? God, I don't want this for my life. And yet she has given us some of the most incredible hymns. And when you look at a lot of her hymns, talks about having a vision, seeing God. Submit to God's will. If we're seeking him only to because of what we can get out of it, if we're seeking God because, well, I got this shopping list that I need you to take care of, God, if we're seeking him with that type of attitude, guess what? We're not going to be blessed. But if we seek him in the point of, Lord, you know what's best for my life. Lord, you know what to do in my life. Lord, whatever your will is for my life, that's what I'll do. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane, as he prayed, Lord, take this cup from me, but if it's your will, that's what I want to be done. Not mine, but your will be done. No matter how harsh or hard or difficult or troublesome it might be. If we're seeking to know him and if we desire to be closer to him, then he's promised us that we'll find him. If we search with all our heart. not with eye service as men please us, but as servants of Christ doing the will of God from the heart. And then finally, do search. Search the scriptures. Acts 17:11 says, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily. I cannot stress how important it is to spend time in God's work if you are going to seek God's will for your life. I mean, this might seem, you might be sat and thinking, Pastor, this is just such basic stuff. But the church is not doing it. Because if the church was doing it, every single one of us would have such an incredible walk with the Lord that there'd be revival all over the place. Search the scriptures. Fill your heart and mind with scripture. Because if our heart and mind is filled with scripture, whatever's on the inside, that's what will come out. What's on the inside will come out. What do you get if you squeeze an orange? What do you get if you squeeze a lemon? What do you get if you squeeze a lime? When you are squeezed, what comes out? Because whatever inside will come out. If you're angry and bitter and full of hatred and frustration and just angry at everything, when you're squeezed, that's exactly what will come out. But if we fill ourselves with the Lord, if we search the scriptures, if we seek his face with all of our heart, when you are squeezed, he'll come out. The fruit of the Spirit will come out. That love, joy, peace, temperance, meekness, long-suffering, goodness, that'll come out. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. You know, it's said of some people, the more you know about them, the less you like them. Have you had anybody like that in your life? The more time you spend with them, you realize the less time you want to spend with them. The more you know about them, the less you want to know about them. It's the exact opposite with the Lord. The more you know about him, the more you want to know about him. The more time you spend with him, the more time you want to spend with him. You can't help but fall in love with this word. You can't help but fall in love with the Lord because of all that he is and all that he's done and all that he can do and all that he will do. God's word is meat to a hungry heart. God's word refreshes the soul of life when it's parched and dried out from fiery trials. God's word is a remedy to the sin-sick soul. God's word to those that are weak is like that shepherd's staff that helps the sheep come back onto to the safety of the fold. God's word is a light to our path when our way is so dark. God's word is a lifeline for when we've drifted in life's stormy seas. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Seek the Lord's face with all your heart. Are we giving God 100%? Or are we kind of just coasting? Freewheeling through life. When our way is blurred, God's word gives us clarity. When the shadow of death hovers over us, that word is a lamp and a light in our path. When our heart is broken and we can't see through our own tears, the word is the one that dries our eyes and comforts our heart. When fear sinks its fangs into us so that all we can see is nothing but hopelessness, the word of God gives us the hope that we need. When we're confused and lost and have no idea where to go, God's word is the map that brings us back safely to the Father himself. How do we seek the Lord? There's a time to seek him. Early. There's never a wrong thing to seek him. There's a thirst in seeking the Lord. If you ever came to a point where you were literally dying of thirst and nothing could satiate that except for that cool glass of water, that's the thirst that we should have for God every moment of our lives. And there's a totality in seeking the Lord. Not half-hearted. We do too many things in this life half-heartedly. But seeking the Lord ought not to be one of them. We need to seek the Lord with our whole heart. How do we do that? Search the scriptures. Submit to God's will. Confess your sins. Enjoy being in his presence. Don't be distracted. And don't wander. And then we can search and seek the Lord with our whole heart. 100% all in. So I'm going to ask you a question. For those who maybe struggled this week, maybe your change lasted Monday and Tuesday and then life just crept in and it got busy. Are you prepared to make a change? To say, okay, perhaps I'm not seeking the Lord as much as I should. Would you commit to him? I don't want you to commit to me. I don't want you to commit to the church. We saw last week that doesn't work. Commit to him. And say, Lord, thy face will I seek. Lord, I'm going to seek thee early. Lord, I'm going to thirst after thee. 100%, the totality of my being, I'm going to seek your face. Because I want your will to be done in my life. And I want your attributes to flow from my life so that people see you before they ever see me. Would you be willing to do that this week? Maybe you started last week and it kind of, stuff got in the way. But recommit to doing it again. And again, and again, and again, and again, and again. It doesn't take long for something to become a habit. And then you'll wonder how you ever started the day without doing it. Seek the Lord with all your heart. Father, thank you again for this time together tonight, today, and for the opportunity to come around your word. Father, we just pray that you'd help us. Help us to seek your face. We recognize that we can't do anything on our own. We recognize that we are in a church where people are hurting, where people are struggling. We recognize that people have had devastating news because of their health. We recognize that people have had difficult news because of situations and circumstances in the home. But Father, we need you. We need you to undertake for us. We need you to help us. So Father, help us to seek your face. Help us to be committed in seeking your face. Help us to be earnest in seeking your face. Help us to be diligent in seeking your face. Help us to have a thirst for seeking you. A thirst like never before. Would you help us, Lord, this week? And then, Lord, when we see the difference in our lives, when we see the difference in our attitudes, not our circumstances necessarily, but when we see the difference in our outlook and our attitude towards things, we recognize that you are then working through us in everything that we face. So there's an importance, and there ought to be a priority in seeking your face as believers in Christ. So Lord, would you help us to do that this week? Because you promised if we do that, we'll find you and you'll help us. And then we'll be able to enjoy your presence. Then we'll be able to enjoy your power and your peace. And we just pray and ask these things now in Christ's most precious and wonderful name. Amen. Amen. We stand and sing our last hymn together. What a friend we have in Jesus. Amen. going to remember a few people this week in your prayer. If you can continue to pray for Bernie, I know Neil and Elaine would appreciate your prayers. We continue to pray for Ron, pray for Norman and for Carla and Carl and the family. If you can pray for Dad, just pray for those who are struggling with their health. Pray for those who are still struggling with bereavement. The church is going through a battle. I recognize that, but we just pray that as we seek God's face, he'll give us the strength to get through these trials of life, and he'll help us to get through the difficulties that each and every one of us are facing. And I know there's people facing difficulties they've not even shared with people within the church. So just keep praying. Josh and Ella, pray for Josh and Ella. You know, Josh had that incident. They've both got really bad flus at the moment now, so pray for them. I know Matthew and Kimberly are unwell as well. So there's lots of people who are struggling at the moment. It's nice to see the ones back who've come through that that illness and all those ailments. But the church needs prayer. So please, this is what I wanted to do. I challenge the men to this in the prayer breakfast. I just wanted to look at the person immediately to the side of you and in front and behind you. Only immediately, but not everybody. So what I'd like to challenge you to do this week is just pray for those ones that are immediately around you. So you know then you've got two or three people just praying for you constantly. And then pray for all of those who we know that are watching online and have not been able to be here. The church needs prayer. But we can get through these difficulties as we seek God's face. Amen. I wonder if Jamie closes in a word of prayer. Thank you, Jamie.
Those not with us, we're struggling with our health.